from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State and all over the world at wildmichiganradio.com. And I am excited, man, excited to be broadcasting from the Not Just Gun Studios because we have a new affiliate. We are welcoming ESPN 100.9 FM in Midland, WLUN, home of Loons Baseball, and a lot of other great sports activity in Midland on an FM stick. We're so excited about that, serving the Midland, Saginaw, Bay City area. And it's awesome because I've got lots of friends and family in Midland. And that whole area, lots, and not that anywhere in Michigan you can't find great sportsmen, but in that area you got a lot of great sports people as well. And we're looking forward to reaching out and touching those areas and really getting a good foot in over there as well. We hope that you will interact with us as well via our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Our podcast is there, absolutely free. And you can find us on Facebook as well at facebook.com/wildmichigan. All our contact information, if you want to shoot us a line, is at our website. And want to thank our friends at Conquest Sense, as well as United Deer Farmers of Michigan, and our friends at Not Just Guns, who are bearing the heavy load of ammunition. So if you need any, they are good with ammunition. If you're looking for like 9mm, things like that that you can't find anywhere else, give our friends at Not Just Guns a call at notjustguns.com, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. Going to kick off the show with a little fishing. We've got a little activity going on in Detroit River over in Lake Erie. As we've talked to Lance Valentine here recently, this week we're going to talk a little bit of pan fishing as we get the ice out in probably most of the areas. And this is the type of fishing that, probably gets overlooked with the big walleye run right now. But pan fishing is just something that we do year-round, and you don't really have to change much from your ice fishing gear to what we're doing right now. And because I know this, because of our good friend Brian Brosdahl, who joins us right now. Bro, a top ice angler and all-around great guy joining us here. Bro, how are you, sir?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me.
Very happy, and of course, a new section of Michigan. We'll be hearing your voice as well, man. We're excited to be on in Midland, in that area. And as you know, the Saginaw Bay Area is great. Midland's a great fishing area. And man, let's talk a little panfish because we've got ice out here in Michigan for the most part. But, there's a lot of people getting their boats out, and you don't really have to change much tackle right now.
No, actually, a lot of your ice flies and tungsten jigs are going to work really well, especially on panfish now. As the ice goes out, things change. And I've seen it even yesterday, quite a few posts, where are the fish? They go to the edges, they go up in the weeds, and they're not finding anything. And during ice out, it can get kind of strange. But the key is to find out where the fish are holding to, what they're feeding on. And a lot of times I'll use my hummingbird to kind of the map to see what the lake has. Some lakes are simple, some are small, and some are complex in what's going to hold the fish. And fish will not typically retreat to super deep stuff. They might go near the base, kind of a medium depth basin, but they're going to be near the spring areas, but just off a little bit. So key things to look for. Any kind of old logging days kind of stuff, that wood that's in the bottom. Wood is number one because vegetation can be kind of dead or mostly gone. And any kind of structure for them to hide. They're always hiding because, not from us, but they're hiding from all the pike or bass or anything in there. And big bluegills, crappies, those big slabs, they're going to lay in there with their nose right to the branches. And if you know where there's some brush piles or some cribs, those are good. If you don't have that, they're holding to something similar. And we know there's a lot of beavers out there that try to dam up stuff. But that's whenever I see that, I'm going right to it because depending on how steep the break is, they'll be holding in the beaver chews where they feed on the branches. They actually eat the bark, but they also eat these little branches. And wherever that stuff is, there's always crappies and bluegills, maybe a little bit deeper, hanging off that stuff. And some lakes are just typically deep panfish lakes in the spring. Others, shallow, and it's all about heat, water temperature. Pay attention to your hummingbird to see what the temp is. And then if you have any doubts, drop an AquaView and just drive along the weed line with it. You'll see most of the time it's blank and there's stubble. But if you do find some vegetation that survived, dropping an AquaView underwater camera can make a big difference, because if you put infrared on, it makes the crappies kind of flash in the distance. So if you wonder what that fish was and you have an infrared, there's no doubt in your mind, because they have that real silvery platinum side and the infrared just glows, makes them glow. So I like to do that and cruise really fast. And if you're in shallow water, sometimes it's nice to rig up your AquaView on a painter's pole. They're the extendable pole, and I just hold it on the front of my boat with the foot, and I go along looking for the fish. And it's amazing. You'll find a tornado of crappies in a very small area. So there's no reason to go out on a lake and not catch fish. Go out there and catch some big slabs, and now's the time to do it.
Brian Brosdahl is our guest right now here on Wild Michigan. Bro, water temps, we've had some warm days air temperature-wise, but that water does not warm up as fast. Are they going to be staying in cooler water, or are they going to be coming up to the top where it's warmer?
Well, they're actually going to slowly migrate to the shoreline to feed. Now, this is not a spawning run. That gets confused. With people get confused sometimes. They say they're moving in to spawn. They're not. That's later. You know, they're waiting for warmer water for that part. But generally right now, they're looking for warm pockets of water to feed. And minnows are the same. If you find an abundance of minnows, the fish are not far, the crappies and the bluegills. Sometimes they'll retreat where you caught them. You know, in ice fishing, you're on a lake, and it's late ice, and the fish are up in the vegetation, or they're up in the emergent weeds also, where you're drilling right in the weeds. If you don't find them there, you got to back off a little bit, and I call it no man's land, where it's just a flat, and the fish will hold these areas in the morning and evening. They'll graze just like cattle across these areas. And I've done really good at setting tip downs and stuff like that when I really need big crappies for a shoot or something. And these fish will cruise these big expansive flats in a lake that has 30 feet of water. They're up in 12 to 14, but there's no features. And sometimes I've had to spread out, or you'll sit there, and in the evening they just magically show up. They're holding somewhere nearby, and it's how much time you have to look. I don't always have a lot of time to look, but I know where they feed, and sometimes that's what I'll concentrate on. And, you know, tip-ups are big kind of for panfish, but if you set it light, it might work. But most of the time I use a fishing pole, like a dead stick, and really small minnows, you know, bright baits, you know, your ice fishing baits like a mud bug, gill getter, that stuff will work really well, small spoons. I like spoons if I'm jigging with an open water rod, because that little treble, when they suck at it, the treble goes in. Firefly jigs, which are the chicken feather hackle on, that's a Northland jig that's, I like to use the glow head with a chartreuse hackle. That with a bee moth or wax worm, as we call it, maggot or small minnow, works really well. And pitch them in there with bobbers. They use sunline, real light line, 3 or 4 pound test. You know, unless you're in some brush, or if you're in fishing a crib, mm-hmm. You don't want to lose your tackle every time. But light line performs better.
All right, Brian Brosdahl is our guest here on the Conquest Sense Upline. Going to find out more, maybe lean towards a little bit about those big slab crappie here in a couple of minutes. You're listening to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Find us online at wildmichiganradio.com and on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Hey, up in the backwoods, down in the holler. Old boy's feeling like a dog on a collar. Keeping that chain pulled tight. Waiting on Saturday night.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State. Welcoming our new friends at 100.9 ESPN FM. WLUN in Midland, the Loon. Very happy to have those guys on, man, because that is a great area. I've got lots of family and friends up in that area. Looking forward to getting over there, and thanks for taking a chance on us, man. We appreciate it. Hopefully, we'll get some good intel your way to help you with fishing and hunting and what's going on in the state. We're not exactly a fishing reports type show. We're more of, we've got a lot of friends in this industry that are absolutely awesome at what they do, and they are happy to share their knowledge. So I ask the dumb questions. They answer the great answers that they give. And it's a pretty fair balance in my world. Brian Brosdahl joining us here on the Conquest Sets Hotline. Bro, when I first called you, I asked you, I said, how much ice you got left? And you were like almost disappointed to say 10, 11. Inches of ice. Well, ours is gone. and I'm kind of, for what short-lived ice season we had here, it seemed to be pretty good.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're not far from that. Our ice has been rotten and unsafe. When you're talking to people and said, how many times did you fall through yesterday getting out there and back? It's not, don't go out there.
Yeah.
A couple of buddies that, it's by shore, they fall through, and they got knee-high boots, but they're falling through over their knee-high boots, and it's without machinery, and they do make machinery for any type of ice. How far involved do you want to get it? Airboat, Willcraft is about the best. It's an affordable machine for people. The new ones are a little bit more the price of a long track sled, but the owner of that company, he'll look for used ones for you if you're in the market for them. And Willcraft is a 10-foot John boat that has a motor and wheels, four wheels, that you can pull up into the boat itself so you can float up to the ice, drop the wheel with studded tires, and then pull yourself up on the ice. And real simple operation. I use them quite a bit, and you'll get there, but you get stuck. Well, then you got to call NASA. I'm telling you, those things can get you places where you get stuck. And so it's good to have a friend who has one, and then kind of go out in unison. But there's ways to get unstuck and all that stuff. But if you're not sure, but that's about the best thing there is a Willcraft.
Well, I've seen those too, and those things just amaze me. Unfortunately, I'm one of those guys that, if I can't use it year round, I don't want to buy it. But that's something I could probably use, like duck hunting or something, and be okay with.
Oh, absolutely. There's people who take it down muddy trails and use it for duck hunting, and then use it for me. Early ice, late ice, it's a no brainer. It's an awesome thing. Maybe a few lakes way back in the woods, instead of trying to put a canoe on top of a four wheeler. You could take that, but the new ones that he's been making with great big hydrostatic tires hydrostatic, and the tires are big, they float, and the tires actually propel it on the water. And
oh, cool.
When I was using, I was running around on rotten ice, and I'd go through and come back out. But if you go really fast and you smash up rotten ice, I realized how much work it is when you're trying to paddle and there's ice in your way when you're trying to roll. It's just better to have someone throw you a rope and yank you out. And with a couple of Willcrafts are unstoppable. You just let one go first.
Right.
Then hang back. But outside of that, we don't need that because the lakes are getting ready to open here. Some have opened a little south of us and over by you. The water's still cold. And now, I did an ice out perch piece with Bill Linder last year. And it turned out amazing. You might see that start showing up. We're catching giant perch on lakes that normally you just see mediums, like 8, 9, 10 inches. Mm-hmm. But during ice out, you can see them, and you can catch the ones you want. It's just amazing how clear the water is. right after ice out, and you don't have much time. If you want to get the big photo fish, the big 1 to 2 pound perch for photos, they're there, and they don't stay there long, you know, 3 or 4 days at the most. Then the fish you eat are the males because they're in big numbers, and they kind of linger, and they're your food. They got a fillet on their belly, where if you fillet a big female that's full of eggs,
mm-hmm.
there's no meat on the belly at all. It's just the back and then the tail and the, just a little bit of strings hanging where the belly is because it's distended with eggs. So it's good to throw those back and just keep them on the males. You'll know they're males because their belly's flat from their tail to their chin.
Mm-hmm.
And but sometimes males get big, 12, 13 inches whatsoever. Most of the time they're that 10, 11 inch. And, boy, you can do really well. And it doesn't have to be on ice. You can catch those nice perch and then big slab crappies. And we know how crappies are. They can be really tough fish to catch. But the biggest crappies I catch in the year are right after ice out in open water before you get all the rest of the little ones. You know, the real big true slabs, we get them right away in the spring areas. We're talking about harbors, canals, creek mouths, anywhere where the water can warm up. In the next warm day you get, they got to be in there. Most of the time they'll be the biggest slabs. So lakes, you know that there's big crappies in a lake.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the lake is big and deep, you get Burton Mullet just north of you there. Those lakes are giant, and they got a lot of deep water. I mean, they might take a little longer, might take a week or even 2 weeks after some of the smaller lakes start getting the crappie thing going on. And
right.
So I would concentrate on mid-range depth lakes that have good chance at panfish and get out there. And remember, if they're not up in the shallows, kind of retreat back to the flats we were talking about before the commercial where they're not in the deep basin, and they're not up in the shallows. They're kind of hanging in those flats grazing. And if you can find the little micro spot they're holding to, you'll find what I call the crappie tornado. And that's what it looks like. They sit in a little, like a pyre, straight up and down, and there'll be zillions of them. Load up your Magnum bait station from Fravel with crappie minnows, real lively ones. Don't get just tiny ones. Sometimes I'll get a mix, and I'll have some larger minnows. And sometimes you can get small shiners even to use. And pitch that out with a bobber or try jigging through really slow.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing better than a lively minnow on a small, maybe a neon-colored gamma catu hook sitting there swimming in the school of crappies. And with today's technology, with Hummingbird, their side imaging is better than anything that exists out there. Super clear. And you can see the crappie show up as circles. Their shadows do. So you can use something like that to make side imaging in affordable models like a 7-inch screen, 7, 8, 9, 10, up to 15. You know, so you can find your fish and just see, look for shadows.
All right, man. Brian Brosdahl, as always, we appreciate your tips and your information. And we look forward to talking to you again. Finding brosguideservice.com. If you're in the Minnesota, northern Minnesota area, you want to go fishing with a true pro, he's your guy, bro. Appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on, and be safe. Enjoy the spring.
Absolutely. Going to speak with Captain Hunter Engel next in Wild Michigan.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an altitude time. Interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State and all over the world at our website, wildmichiganradio.com, being brought to you by our friends at United Deer Farmers of Michigan, the UDFOM, working very hard to not only put out some quality deer for some private hunting parties. They are doing what they can to lock down the causes and the problems and the way to get rid of CWD here in Michigan, putting private money into that because it affects everybody, okay? They're not just about themselves. They're about everybody. And since this affects everybody, we really thank them for doing so. Thanks to our good friend Brian Brosdahl, as well as Frable frontman and Northland Tackle frontman. Just all around great guy and wealth of knowledge when it comes to panfish and the like. So if you ever check him out, if we ever get back to what they call normal life, air quotes, that, you know, check out some of his seminars or just find him online. Look for Brian Brosdahl via our website at wildmichiganradio.com. And we're going to speak now with my good friend, Captain Hunter Engel, Best Chance Charters out of Saugatuck, Michigan. Just getting back to the freezing cold temperatures of 60 degrees after a little little work detail down in the Bahamas. But we're glad to have you back. Hunter, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good, sir. Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. Now, you're getting ready. You're going to do some turkey hunting. You're doing a little scouting for turkey hunting. But the people want to know, because Best Chance Charters, you guys are so so well known with your dad, Captain Dave Engel. And, of course, you've been around for a couple hundred years, being, what, 16 yourself. actually, well, I think that's about how old you were when I met you. You were like 15 or 16. You were a kid. Now you're like a ripe old age of like, what, 26?
Actually, I'm 35.
Oh, my God. I've known you that long.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
It's been that long.
Wow. I can't believe that. That's awesome. And dude, you've been doing this thing with the family since, you know, you were able to walk. And, you know, I'm looking at what we're seeing now, the steelhead runs, the walleye running with Detroit and Erie. Steelhead, Muskegon, Manistee, everybody doing great with those. But the big water is a little different. That takes a little, that's a little different timeline. Explain that for me, if you would.
What it is that everything, most of the fish spawn right in the rivers and such, like the kings, the coho, the walleye, all that jazz. But our lake trout being excluded, they live in the lake, hence the name lake trout. Usually some of us don't get started until April, and unless you're a little farther north of Saugatuck area, you really don't start till May, maybe even June, especially up in Ludington and such. But I've been talking to some friends down in St. Joe, Michigan City, and they are doing really well with the coho. I mean, cutting a path through them, especially when they get to some of that warm water discharges by the plant. You can't get too close to coho, of course, since 9/11. And it's shaping up to be really good. I'm really excited. My boat's supposed to go in on the 10th. My dad's is sometime close to that, and dad's going to take off down to Michigan City and get to work, and I'm going to shoot a turkey here or there and then start my first trip.
Now, this is exciting because, I mean, since I've known you, you have been a waterfowler and a damn good waterfowl caller and hunter as well. But what was really funny when I first met you, I didn't understand how deep the bloodline was for big water fishing. I mean, I guess I just didn't put angle and angle together. It just never came to mind.
Yeah, I grew up doing both, of course. Well, got older. I really haven't grown up, but as most of us know. But grew up doing both. My dad, you know, I've had a fishing rod and a duck and a shotgun in each hand and a call in my mouth since I could crawl. And it's always been a passion. I've always loved it. I did, you know, go to college, do that for a little while just because, you know, my dad says you should make sure this is what you want. And I did college for a little while and got an understanding of business, did a year or two of vocational school, got an understanding of being an electrician and stuff. Don't have my journeyman's, probably should. Encourage everyone that wants to do the field should do it. But, you know, my heart's on the water and in the woods. That's just where I want and have to be. And I've been blessed to be able to make it work and make it happen.
Go ahead.
Well, I was also blessed to be able to make my a name for myself doing the calling gig. You know, I longtime friend Sean Stahl, I've known him since I was 5. Yeah, he used to guide for my duck club and my goose club and such. And you know, I always thought it was cool that Dad did it, but to have someone close to your age doing that and you know, stall a stall. So I had a fuss. So I kind of was like, wow, this is really cool. And he took me under his wing, taught me about everything I know on how to blow a short read and stuff. And Dad taught me how when to, because he is a very talented caller, but he's a flute caller. He's old school.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had the opportunity to fish with Uncle Bob for the, you know, started off fishing on my dad's boat, of course, and fished around all of Saugatuck. You know, I was kind of like a gypsy going from one boat to the other to make a summer living and stuff like that when I was a kid. They all loved fishing with me because I knew what I was doing and they could find out what Dad was doing and stuff. And then I fished with Uncle Bob, my dad's uncle, my great uncle, for like the last five years or so of his career, running my boat, and took the plunge at about, somewhere in my mid-20s. Well, it's been 10 years now exactly. Golly, when did that come from?
Well, that's just it.
I just had a rough moment of what you just went through, brother.
Exactly. You know, and that's cool, too, that this generation behind me, I will say, is keeping this going, because there are so many things that we are losing, like skilled trades that you'd mentioned. I was I used to be a printing press operator for 16 years, and then I decided to go out on my own and have my own business, which had nothing to do with printing. At the same time, I picked up radio. I've been doing radio for 26 years now, and we've been doing this show in our 15th year. But the skilled trades, man, I encourage people because it's one, it's needed. Two, it's very good money, and it's consistent.
That's a fact. One of my neighbors is a carpenter here, he's a carpenter. He's he's in charge of everything and stuff like that. And right now, something about this lakeshore, our rural area of the lakeshore, he says if I could hire 10 more guys, I'd keep them busy full time. And he's got a pretty good sized crew and a pretty good operation. Custom Carpentry, with Chris Lozano is his name.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone I talk to, every one of the tradesmen I talk to are busier than all that out. It's like, hey, you're going to get out and do some fishing, maybe a little turkey hunting and stuff like that? He's like, I do not have time for turkey hunting, and I might be, and I'm definitely going to put my boat in just because I want to enjoy my Sundays. But other than that, I have no time any other time.
Yeah, well,
no other time.
I tell you what, man, we're going to get to talk to you about some fishing, absolutely here in a few minutes, because I want to find out when those first runs are going to go with you, and also I want to find out, basically what's involved, because there's been some rule changes since this whole COVID-19, since our 6 weeks to flatten the curve year one that we're going through, but I'll tell you this. Be thankful you live in the United States, Hunter, because my next guest coming up in the next hour of the show, my good friend Owen O'Hagan, that lives in Ireland, they can't go fishing right now because of the COVID rules. Explain that one to me. Well, we'll have Owen explain it coming up in a few minutes. But Hunter, I will tell you about fishing Ireland, buddy. It's something else. But all that and more. We're going to talk with Hunter about fishing the Saugatuck area of Lake Michigan. Find out how that's going to go, hopefully, for 2021 on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
To everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors, thank you. From Duran Martinez and Team Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State via the Michigan Talk Network. Very happy to have all of you joining us here, and thanks to everybody that listens via podcast. Our new affiliate in Midland, Michigan, 100.9 ESPN, WLUN-FM, a new stick In the Midland area, taking us through the Midland, Bay City, Saginaw area on the Loon. Thank you so much for having us, and we appreciate it. Love being on more places. If you would like Wild Michigan on in your area, let your station managers know. Let the program directors know. If it's a format we can fit, we will hook them up absolutely free just to get Wild Michigan out there, because we've got people taking care of getting it out to you, like our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason, Conquest Scents, also United Deer Farmers of Michigan. And we're going to talk to my good friend Captain Hunter Engel with Best Chance Charters. Getting ready here in the next couple of weeks to get on the big water. Hunter, we've seen some changes in food sources for, you know, and numbers, actual coho numbers, king numbers, in the big lakes. They say, and I'm hearing, that the numbers have been fewer, but the sizes have been bigger. What did 2020, despite the pandemic, show you last year for fish?
Well, aside from wearing a mask and foggy glasses because of the mask, I always wore one because I'm fair skin and stuff. But other than that, I'll tell you what, these fish were huge. I mean, you know, the DNR, when they first started doing the cutbacks on the kings, a lot of people kicked and screamed, especially the northern end of the lake. But the DNR said, listen, if we're wrong, the fish will be bigger, and the fish are bigger. We don't have a whole lot of bait fish still, but I do predict that the bait fish will have done better this year because it's a mild winter. You know, the lake didn't freeze over at all. That caused the water level to drop a little bit, and that'll be nice for getting on the boat because last year was insane.
Right.
You watch one of my videos, and you can see when we're pulling out of the dock, and you see me driving by my boat. You can see that one of my docks is completely underwater, and the other one we built on top of that dock. And we still had a platform to step up onto the boat.
Jeez.
You know, crazy. But yeah, the fish were really big. Last year they only did a few tournaments. A lot of it canceled because of the pandemic and stuff, but we were able to keep up some social distancing, not exchanging any observers and stuff like that. But what you did is that you recorded everything, and then you took a picture with your smartphone, and your smartphone had the date and time. You took a picture of the fish and of your sheet so that you could keep everything, you know, fairly legal.
Mm-hmm.
And, or at least as much as we would allow. And I know that we did good, and I know it was good because a buddy of mine, Eric Shippa, who runs West Michigan Charter Fishing, his boat's called the Blue Chip, he had a 19-pound average for his fish.
Wow.
I mean, and I was not too far from him. You know, I'm picking away at him a little bit and stuff, but he was just on him, and he caught an absolute pass through him. But he didn't get all of them because I was not far behind him, and I caught a 31-pound king, which is, as a captain, that's my personal best, and I'm proud to say that my wife's the one that caught it. So the fish are huge. Our alewife numbers will probably be up, and I imagine the gobies will be around still, and that'll be a good thing for those of us that love to fish lake trout, especially in the springtime. You know, the lake trout can shack right up there, really close to shore, feeding on these gobies. Chrome spin doctors and the whirligigs, you know, the yellow color, the chartreuse color, I mean. And you do pretty well. I mean, my record is 21 fish in 45 minutes.
Wow, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good amount. And, you know, and what I saw, too, because I watched it kind of close last year, that there were, probably above an average of 30-pound fish in general. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, there were just a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's encouraging.
Yeah, it's very encouraging. Now, it's not quite like the heyday and stuff like that. Definitely nothing like the 80s, and not quite like it was in the mid to late 90s, where you can just load up with 100% salmon rigs and catch 30 fish in 20 minutes and stuff, in 2 hours, I mean. Nothing like that, but you know, you got to go for both, especially in our central to southern end of the lake and stuff like that. Like, my favorite way to fish is that I'll have my downriggers on bottom looking for lake trout, or at least close to bottom. And last year when we started out, we ran just paddles and flies close to bottom instead of on bottom. And we pick up some lake trout, and occasionally we get a deep king from there. And the rest of the rods are suspended looking for the silverfish, you know, cohos, kings, mm-hmm. maybe a steelhead, but
not likely that time of year.
It just seems that it was, again, we've been seeing, you know, less numbers, but better quality fish. And the other thing that I had noticed, too, is people were complaining. This is a couple of years ago. They're complaining, you know, that, you know, we're not finding the fish. The fish were holding up deeper water for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Explain that.
Part of that is probably because of water clarity and such like that. You know, the zebras and the coagulas are filtering out the water so much, and all the zooplankton is now out deeper instead of up close like it used to be. You know, we just went through about 20 years or so of zebra mussels, and they filtered themselves out. So all the zooplankton that holds the bait fish is now out deeper.
Yeah, seeing a lot of people weren't, you know, they were going on that mentality of, well, this is where the fish always were. Well, guess what? The environment underneath our eyesight changes a little bit, and you need to kind of adapt. And that's just an outsider. I'm not a captain, nor am I an expert by any stretch. But common sense dictates that you may need to change things up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely a fact. Like after 2012, when most of the king salmon left after 2012, you know, we didn't have quite as many and stuff like that. And all of a sudden we started finding these lake trout, and the lake trout fishing, that helped a lot. That was change. It was different. You know, you had to change your tactics. You had to change your speed. You can't be at a angle out. You had to be right. If you could stay along the shoreline as best you could, you'd do great. And if you could keep everything down as far as possible, you'd do really well. That's one of the reasons we love our cannon downriggers, because we're able to pull 16-pound weights, keep them real close to bottom. And with the slow start feature with their digitals and optimums, we can feather it up and down. And the optimums actually offer bottom tracking so that you can see how deep some of the stuff is without having to fight through the customers to see the fish finder. And if you're pulling a fish hawk, it'll read out there too. That's also a nice thing. So not only did us as captains and fishermen have to change, but fortunately the equipment has changed and adapted and become a little more innovative.
Absolutely.
Which is very, very nice.
Absolutely. Captain Hunter Engel, Best Chance Charters, Junior Dab, Captain Dave, how can we get a hold of you, and how is the schedule looking so far for the early part of the year?
We've got some openings. My dad has actually got a few openings around the St. Joe time. That's the week of Mother's Day, you know, just before. And it's a good time to go with him right then, because the king salmon are usually showing up about then, and we can do really well with it. My dad's filmed a couple of TV shows out there with it, like Angler's West TV, for example. He's one of them. Mm-hmm. And Midwest Outdoors, we've done a show or two with them right out of St. Joe. And then the week after that, after Mother's Day, we'll be in South Haven. Both him and I will there. I usually go fish it because we have a dual port, you know, where it's a double port tournament, and you're a lot within the actual tournament itself.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll fish. So I'll be fishing that along with dad and such. And we've definitely got a few openings. We've got a few of our regulars ready and stuff like that. The days of the tournament, we've got our teams, people that charter us. Some of them have chartered us for many, many years.
Sure.
And they've become friends, you know, as it goes on, you know. Been to a few of the kids' graduations and things like that. All that happy stuff. To get a hold of me, my phone number is 616-218-4718. My dad's is 616-292-4812. Our website is www.bestchance2too.com.
All right, bestchance2.com, T-double-O, as in also. So make sure you find them. Captain Hunter Engel, thank you so much for joining us, brother. I appreciate it. And the next hour, we're going to speak with my friend Owen O'Hagan about fishing Ireland and why they can't fish right now. I'm incensed as an American why my Irish friends can't fish. But, dude, thank you so much. As always, we appreciate your time.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
All right,
great,
man.
Look, talking to you, brother.
You as well. And thanks to Brian Brosdahl for joining us in the first hour of the show. Whole another hour coming your way. And we're excited to be brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason, Conquest Sense, makers of VS1 and Evercalm, and, of course, United Deer Farmers of Michigan here on the Michigan Talk Network. I'm Duran Martinez.